Good morning. It's great to be here in God's house. Put those there now. I feel confident I won't set God's church on fire. Yeah, please. Bit husky because I've been singing. Right, you've got to be awake. Okay? Don't get too relaxed. All right. So I'm going to ask you a question. What are the first two commandments? Yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Second one? Love your neighbour as yourself. Thank you. Just hang on a moment. I'm moving this because I've knocked that many over there. So that's where I'm my starting point today. But my actual, what I'm going to talk about today is effective prayer. You know, I've been studying prayer and I'm still studying prayer, and I really thank God for what I'm learning. But what I want to say is that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a link to when Moses got the commandments. And in Luke 10 on the slide, you will see, verses 27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbour as yourself. And when Jesus was said this, the next bit he said was, go and do it. So it's not only said when they got the commandments, but Jesus, you know, if Jesus says, go and do it, and I'm a Christian, and I've got Christ inside me, then that's Jesus telling me, go and do it. Go and love that person. So why am I talking about love when actually I've been studying about prayer? And what I want to say to you is that prayer is not separate to love. That loving your neighbour, loving your friends, loving your family, loving yourself is all connected to prayer, and I'll explain why. And I've been so blessed when I've really thought about this and studied it and been thinking about it over these last quite a few weeks now. There's a direct link to our friendship with God and to others, and it will take all our heart, all our strength, and all our might, and everything in us to do both. And you've heard me say this, and I think I said this last time I was up, it's not passive. This is not a passive action. A person close to God should have a friendship with others who have needs. A friend is a person who gives what's needed. So if you've got a friend and they've got a need, Christian, it's down to you. It's down to you. If it's monetary, it's down to you. If it's prayer, it's down to you. If it's a practical need, it's down to you. We have a street WhatsApp group, and somebody will say, I've got, I need help with this, or I need this item. And next thing you find, it's outside your door. Isn't that great? Isn't it great to live in a street where somebody says, I need a ladder? And next thing, somebody will knock and a ladder's outside your door. Or somebody will say, has anybody got any hedge cutters? Next thing, a neighbour will go, and there's a set of hedge cutters outside the door. It's fab, isn't it? It's great. I love it. We have a little WhatsApp group. This week's WhatsApp group was, I bought ice cream on one of these co-op deals, and I've got 5 in my freezer. I don't like ice cream. Who wants ice cream? I tell you, I legged it to the house and knocked on the door. Andy loves ice cream. And I was greedy. I said, can I have one of each? It was Viennetta and what was the other one? Cart d'Or. I said, would you mind if we had one of each? Because Andy loves ice cream. It's great, isn't it? Abraham was a friend of God. And I'm not going to give you a scripture because I'm going to say to you, Find out who, those of you that don't know, find out who Abraham is this week. Go to your Bible, go on and Google it. Find out who Abraham is, but Abraham was a friend of God. We sing a song, I'm a friend of God. And because I can ask for my friend, and this is where the relationships come in. Asking for your friend, asking for your family. Because we pray, because we love God, because we have a right relationship with Him, that we can pray for others, and that makes a difference. As I look around this room, I know quite a few circumstances, and I know the things that are behind the faces. I know the situations that people have, or having, or have had. And I want to tell you that our God makes a difference in every one of them when we pray. Our God makes a difference in our family when we pray. Our God makes a difference with friends when we pray. Our God makes a difference, and it's because of our relationship with Him. It's a wonderful thing that we have, and it's such a gift. I thank God for the people who've prayed for me over the years. And continue to pray for me. You know, it's good to pray for ourselves. Those of you who are in recovery will pray that prayer of serenity. But pray for others. Right. So to make sure you're awake, let me have a think now. Who am I going to pick? Will. Come out. Emmanuel. Annabeth. Right. I'm going to demonstrate something. It's very simple. And this is to help you remember. Next week when somebody says, who spoke last week? You'll go, I can't remember. And then you'll say, and what did you talk about? You'll go, I can't remember. So this is going to help you remember. So. Yeah, ice cream's coming. Right, hang on one more. These are new candles, so they're not burning very well. My fingers will be burnt before they get lit. Right, I'm there. One more. Oh, that one might fall over. Oh, hang on. Try another one. Right. Who just came behind me then? Come on, love. Just hold it again for me, please.
Work.
Yeah, don't moan. Quick, right. One's gone out. Come on.
Come on, we're going home soon.
Right, quick. Blow the candles out. Quick. One, quick. Keep going. Right, okay. Thank you. You know that thing, don't work with children and animals, don't work with candles. Yeah, they can have a cake after. Have a piece of cake after. Okay. Right. The reason why I did that was I had this thought when I was preparing this. And I did that to kind of keep you all interested. But sometimes, you know what our prayers can be? It can be like a wish. When somebody blows out a candle on a cake and people say, make a wish. I want to encourage you, do not let your prayers be a wish. Do not let your prayers be something that you want, but you don't stick with. It's a wish, and it's soon forgotten. That's not what our prayers should be. Our prayers should be something that we ask God for, and we carry on asking until we've got it. We've got an answer. Now, it might not be the answer we thought, but God will always answer. So don't let your prayers be a wish. We pray for people inside this building. We've just done that. And we have a structure of prayer. For those of you that don't know, we have a prayer chain which Lynn manages, which is people dedicated to prayer. And we have everybody on that prayer list. People we know, people we talk to at work. There's lots of people that go on that prayer list. And we have a structure for that in the church, and that's good. But our responsibility is also the people outside that we meet with, that you work with, that you rub shoulders with, all those people, the conversations you have by text, the conversations you have on the phone, the people that you rub shoulders with, all those people are also our responsibility and your responsibility. So, I want you to think about this week. Do we believe in prayer to bring change? That was a question one of the days when I sat thinking about prayer. Do I believe in prayer enough to bring change? And the pattern is knock, knock. So I'm not going to tell you a joke because I'm rubbish at telling jokes. Knock, knock. And the Bible says, and the door will be open to you. Knock, knock. So I want to talk to you about three R's. And it's not reading, writing and arithmetic. It's three other R's. And I want you to kind of try and remember this next week. If you've got a phone, and you've got notes in your phone, just pop this in your notes. So number one is request. Number two is refusal. And number three is reward. I'm going to read to you the story. It's in Mark 10, verse 46 to verse 52. And it's where Jesus meets Bartimaeus. They spent some time in Jericho. As Jesus was leaving town, trailed by his disciples and a parade of people, a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting alongside the road. When he heard that Jesus the Nazarene was passing by, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus, mercy, have mercy on me." Many tried to hush him up, but he yelled all the louder, "Son of David, mercy, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped in his tracks, "Call him over." They called him and he said, "It's your day today, get up. He's calling you to come." Throwing off his coat, he was on his feet at once and came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "On your way," said Jesus, "your faith has saved and healed you." And in that very instant, he recovered his sight and followed Jesus down the road. Bartimaeus cried out. That was his request. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do?" And he specifically told him he wanted to see. We need to tell our Lord, our Father in heaven, when we're praying, what we want. We've just prayed for people. If you've got pain, your prayer is, "God, take this pain away." Don't go dancing all around the houses. Pray, "God, take this pain away. God, heal my body. God, touch me." Be specific and say it out loud. And the reason you need to say it out loud is because you need to know what you're praying. You know, people do all this. You know, people kneel down. People don't speak. But one of the things, when we hear stuff, it becomes far more important. You know yourself, when you've got a situation, you start to talk about it. As soon as you speak about it, doesn't it affect you? You can be not tearful, but as soon as you start to tell somebody something that's really affecting you, your emotions straight away are heightened. It's exactly the same in prayer. Don't pray quietly. Hear what you're saying. People quite often, one of the things sometimes I help people do is I help people with interviews, I help people listen to people and try and encourage them when they're going for a job. Practice speaking before you sit before somebody. Speak out loud and you'll be prepared. The power of speaking, is really strong, and it's the same in prayer. If you want something, pray for it out loud. I'm not saying shouting so your neighbours next door think you're a nutter. I'm not talking like that. I'm saying just talk to God and tell him what you need. And when you hear yourself telling God what you need, it also helps to remember what you're asking for and write it down. In the back of my little study book, I have a list of what my needs are that I'm praying for. And it's not a shopping list. It's got specific things in what I want for people. It's not the name. It's got next to them what I want. And after I've prayed, I go, Lord, I'm coming back to my list. I'm coming back to this. I want this for Jonathan. And I say what it is. I want this for Vivian. I want this for Alex. Alex is on my list. I want this. Vivian's on my list. I want this for such a body. And I'm specific about what I want. You know, and it's effectual. It's a refusal not to give up. Knock, knock. Knock, knock. Don't refuse. And the reward is healing. The reward is healing. You've heard me say I was in pain for 3 years. Every day I woke up, I had pain. Every day, every morning I woke up, and I was on painkillers, I was on all sorts of drugs. And every day I woke up and I said, Lord, I want you to heal me today. I want you to finish the work you've started. And every day, and one day I woke up and I was not in pain. And I have not been in that pain since. And that was in, let me just work out when it was. It started in 2006 in the July. And 2009, 3 years later, I was pain-free. And I have not been in that pain, in that place, since that I was medicated in order to function. And that's 2009. And I thank God for that. And if God put something in us that we're trusting for healing, and I used to say it out loud every morning, I used to wake up, and my first thought was, thank you, God. And second words were, Lord, I want to be healed today. And I carried on, and I knocked until that door was open. Stick till you get your answer. It might be a different answer, but you'll know if it's different. You'll know if it's a different answer, and you'll still have that feeling and assurance it's been answered. So it might not be the answer that you thought you was getting in that way, but you'll know that God has answered it. And you'll know that it's a different answer, but you'll know it's answered. Faith is wrestling until we have the answer, not giving up. I'm here today, and I really want to encourage you this morning as a Christian, do not give up. It's through faith and patience we inherit God's promises. In our asking, God teaches us, works with us, reveals more about us. A lot of this, you know, it doesn't reveal more about God, it actually reveals more about us and himself. And I want to reassure you, see, sometimes we get things a bit skewed. We think, oh, is this a test I've got to jump through hoops for? We've got a wrong perception of who God is when we think that. It's a wrong thought. Is God playing games with me to see whether I'll trust him? Those aren't right thoughts. That's not what God's doing. He's not playing games with you. Our prayer is needed, and we have been given the authority to pray. You have been given the authority to pray. And that's why that commandment, love the Lord your God first. When we used to do it with Jim, didn't we, where we'd stick our arms out and we'd touch one another. We used to say, love the Lord your God, and then we'd go like that and love your neighbour as yourself. And that's why it's so important that we know who we are in God. Because the righteous prayer, it's the righteous prayer. One of the things, I don't know whether I read this or whether this is a thought, I don't know whether this was in the book that I'm studying, I can't remember now, but I wrote down in my notes, will I give the time and sacrifice the rest for God to, for my prayer to be answered? Let me say that again to you. will I give the time and the sacrifice and sacrifice that rest. The other thing that you could do or pray again for that need that's not been answered. Does that make sense to you? And that was one of my thoughts. Do I go and do something I want? Do I shut my eyes? Do I have a rest? Or do I just take a few minutes and pray for that prayer again? Is that what I do? So I want you to think about that. That was one of my thoughts. Last week we learnt about Elijah and the woman where her son and her were on the last meal, where the oil was there and the flour was there, but it was only one meal. And those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, listen to the recording last week that Lisa gave, and it's in 1 Kings 17. And what Lisa didn't know was that I'm going to just speak for a few minutes about Elijah. Elijah's prayer was that it would not rain because of the king and his disobedience. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain. But then it came to a point where rain was needed, and Elijah prayed for rain. And in the story that Lisa said last week, the widow and the oil, just quickly recapping, the flour and the oil were made, and they had food. And the condition was, Elijah said, you'll have food until the rain comes. And when the rain came, they didn't need that supply anymore, and that's exactly what he did. When Elijah was praying for the rain to come, there was a point where he had a servant, and he sent the servant out, and he said to the servant, will you go out and look for rain clouds? Okay, so he's praying for rain, and then he says to somebody else, which is brave, go out and look for rain clouds. And the servant went out, and when he went out, he said, there's a cloud there, and it's the size of my hand. Elijah's next response was, run to the king before the rain stops you from getting there. His belief was that if this servant didn't run like mad, he actually wouldn't be able to get to the king because there would be that much rain falling. And at that time, it was just the size in the distance of his hand, and the rain came. Elijah had a good relationship with God, and he would have conducted himself to have a good relationship with others. You can see that in the way that he dealt with the woman and the son. But he also had faith to believe what he prayed for. And in that 1 Kings 17 and 1 Kings 18, read it when you get home, and you'll see how much faith he had to have. 850 priests were praying for all sorts of things, and he had faith. In our church, we have many examples of people with faith. And as I was preparing this, I thought of Beryl. So Beryl has been in the church all the time I've been here. And what I always remember of Beryl was any ailment or anything at all that she had, and I remember having sight problems when I first came into the church, God has healed Beryl of every complaint that she's ever had, and she's stuck firm and fast and trusted God. She's a great example of a woman of faith, and she's been healed many times, haven't you, Beryl? And in this situation now where she's had cancer and then surgery, and she's had the all clear, and now it's come back, I know that Beryl is standing on her firm foundation, what we've just sang about, and she's believing that this treatment that she's going to have and prayer, that she will come through this. And, you know, the other thing about it is, Beryl also understands her time with God. She understands that when it's time for her and she's done everything, that she's going to go and be with God. She's settled that, and you can tell that when you talk to her. I know who Beryl's confidence is in. So for us to be close to God, we must have a good relationship with him, and we must have a good relationship with others. And I know Jed spoke a few weeks ago about having a good relationship with others, and we've all got people in our family who we struggle with. Please tell me that, you know, if one of you's got nobody in your family you struggle with, stick your hand up. Right? And I think the only way that you're not going to have anybody in your family you struggle with is if it's just you. I'm serious, because we're all different, aren't we? Different, you know, you can have the same parents and all circumstances all be the same, and you all rub each other up the wrong way, and it's really difficult. And we have difficult situations, different opinions. We have people who get upset if you don't greet them when you walk in a room. We have people who get upset if you don't text them. We have people who get upset if you don't visit them. Got all these things that we're all dealing with. And I was really challenged when I listened to Jed, and this was one particular relationship I would say is a bit of a thorn in my side. I'm not going to tell you who it is. A bit of a thorn in my side, but you know, I constantly work at this relationship and I constantly pray about it. And I sat there and listened to this word and I thought, right, Lord, I'm just going to bring this relationship to you, Lord, again. As Jed's speaking, do I need to do anything more about this relationship? Because I've done a lot. And I thought, I'm still going to be obedient, Lord, and I'm going to ask you. And at this point, I sat there and I thought, no, actually, no, I feel at peace. I don't need to do anything more yet. And I went home. When I went home, during a day or so, I asked the same question when I come to pray. Lord, do I need to do anything? And the answer was no. And then about 3 weeks later or 2 weeks later, I sat at home in my little spot where I pray. And I just sat there and I felt, you need to ring this person. Okay. So I rang them. It wasn't an easy conversation, but I rang them and I did the right thing. And you know what was really good about it? This last week, I got some really bad news off them, really difficult news. And I thought, I'm so glad that I listened to that prompting of contacting them, because I'm not sure whether I'd have had that phone call about a death in the family if I'd not made that call. Do you see what I'm saying? So at the time I'd prayed, I'd listened, I'm in here, I went back to God with it. No, leave it. Then I prayed again. No, leave it. But then I sat in my little quiet spot and I just felt, you need to ring them. Okay. I rang them. And then I got another a text then with this, that there'd been a death in the family. And I thought, you're so good, God, because that conversation has been made so much easier. And in the last week, there's been a lot going on concerning that situation. And because I listened, I've been able to be part of that conversation. So you see how God works. He's good. The thing that I find quite interesting is faith and love are intertwined and connected. And it's interesting that when Jesus, in this particular bit where he tells us to love one another, he'd been going around all the churches, and I thought, what did he see? What did Jesus see? He'd been going around everywhere, been met with loads of Christians, and the first thing he says is love one another. And I thought, what did he see? Did he see people who weren't loving one another? I don't know. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, you've heard me call them before, we call them the great pretenders. You know, they had all the external look, they had all the finery, but they didn't demonstrate love to one another. They didn't demonstrate love to people who needed to be in the church. Maybe that's why Jesus said what he said. So I'm just going to summarise now. Jesus has enabled us to pray and get answers, and that's a miracle. We've been pardoned and we've been given an open door. We can pray for those in the church and we can pray for those outside. So my message to you this morning is, be confident. The effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. If the fervent part of this, same Jed's not here, it's energio, which means to be operative, be at work and put forth power. And it's in James 5. Verse 16. And the scripture is, share your faults with each other so you can live together whole and healed. The transparency that we all want to see in life is, and the integrity we desire. The prayer of the person who's living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. As we've already said, Elijah was human just like us. He prayed and the rain came. Pardoning all our relationships is so important because we sometimes think our prayers are answered as we sit or where we are. But I want to tell you, your prayers are answered when you're walking about and doing the everyday things. A loving life is the condition of a prayer answered. So I want to leave you with this week. Be confident. The effectual prayer is powerful. It will achieve and change situations and do more than you think, believe and pray for. Okay. Do some praying this week. Get your list out. God bless you.